May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this lesson from Acts, which is one of my favorite stories, has got me thinking about God my own experience of God. If I ask you, what is your concept of God? What would you say? Like, what is your concept of God? Is it influenced by Renaissance art, right? Is it that old white man in the sky reaching out to touch Adam's finger? Is it influenced by nature? Is it a theological statement somehow shaped by the Nicene Creed? Is God like energy? How do you think of God? Like, what's your concept of God? And then if I ask you, what's your experience of God? How is that different? Does God feel distant? Does God feel like your mom or your dad? Does God feel like the awe you experience in nature at a sunset? Does God feel like love? Does God feel harsh and punitive? Like, our concepts of God, our experience of God, the history of humanity is human striving towards this mystery of the divine. And I think Paul is stepping into that in the context of Athens. Like, you've got this city that's pretty wide open and is kind of a major trading ground. And so you've got not only Greek gods and Roman gods, you've got temples to like Zeus and Athena and Hera and Diane and Poseidon. You've got all kinds of shrines and temples going on there, but you have gods from Egypt and potentially from the East coming in there as well. You get different philosophies, Epicureans and Stoics and Platonists and Aristotelians, all there in Athens, is all of them striving and bringing their, trying to understand their own concept of groping after the divine. And Paul picks up on this, right? He shows up there and he spent a couple weeks just wandering around the city and getting a sense of it, and he's just amazed at how religious all these folks are. And he's having conversations with the Jews. There's Jews in a synagogue and people on the street. And so he steps into, as he's having these conversations, he's talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And everybody is like, oh, he's talking about these two gods, Jesus and this god named Resurrection. Anastasis, that's what they thought. They thought there was a god of the god resurrection that Paul was talking about. And they're like, what are you talking about? Who is this? And so he gets up and, he gives his speech that we read. So I've thought about my own development of my own concept of God. I think as a kid, God, we tend to think about God as being located in space and time. That somehow God is bound by space and time. When I was a kid, I thought that God was way up there somewhere, distant, right? And prayer for me was like folding a paper airplane and chucking it up to heaven, hoping that somehow God would get this to-do list of things I needed God to do. We locate God up there. We locate God in here somehow. We tend to bound God in space and time because that's our experience. It's easier that way if we can contain God in some way. We tend to anthropomorphize God. I anthropomorphized God. I remember when I walked out of church one Sunday and I realized, I feel like God is like my dad. It's like this insight. I realized my understanding of God was very shaped by my understanding of my father, which is both good and bad. The combo of the both. And I was like, oh, what happens if I start trying to understand that God might be different than my dad? Or that God might be different than my mom, right? Fundamentally, we do tend to project onto God our experience of our parents, for better or for worse, right? I was thinking, whether we talk about God as father, God as mother. There was a book, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, called The Shack, and there was also a movie. Did anybody see that or hear it or read it? I was deeply impacted by it at the time, and Part of what was interesting about Paul Young was the author of the book, and he portrayed God the Father as an African-American woman, which was kind of jarring for a lot of people. Like, how can God the Father be an African-American woman? But when you, and part of the book is a reflection on the Trinity, but it's a reflection also on suffering, and why does a good God allow people to suffer? And as you get into it, you get how God, how this portrayal of a nurturing, maternal image of God is actually really important. How in our own concept of God as Father, maybe we've lost something in terms of what does it mean for God to have maternal, nurturing capabilities and contexts. And you know, we get to think about that. Today on Mother's Day of all days, we observe that. But part of what happens during the film and the book is there's a moment where as he enters into his grief and pain and shame, God the Father is presented as an indigenous man, a Native American man, and it makes sense in the context of the story. Sometimes we need God as a maternal energy. Sometimes we need God as this kind of strong, patient kind of type. But in either case, that's our need. It's not who God is. It's about our projection. It's about our personal experience of what we do when we think about the divine. And, you know, and we tend to project ourselves into the divine in some way. We also tend to want to, at least I found, I wanted to limit God. We want to make God in our own image. Or we want to make God, we want God to be containable. It's nice if God can live in shrines built out of human hands. If we can make God to a size that we can actually contain God, which is what idolatry is, right? Idolatry isn't just about, you know, some sort of human-fashioned statue or figure that people worship. Idolatry is ultimately our attempt to contain God so that God somehow is smaller than we are, so that somehow God is still comprehensible to us and manageable by us. And I think my life has been kind of a recovery from that impulse of wanting to make God smaller than God actually is. I don't know, that in my own experience of coming to understand the divine, it was very much, you know, getting over trying to confine God to space and time, trying to anthropomorphize God, trying to contain God in some small ways. But Paul does. I mean, and I think that's what Paul sees in Athens. Like, he's got these shrines where there are figures all over the place, and it's humans trying to contain and make God understandable and comprehensible and manipulatable. And God's like, God's not like that. He tries to bust open and broaden their paradigm, and he chooses this shrine to an unknown God. The God who's beyond knowing, the God who's beyond their understanding, you know, at some level. He starts talking about creation. Don't you know God is the one who created all of this? And it connects with nature. I mean, and their experience of nature, because often, you know, if God is bigger than we are and bigger, broader than we are, it makes sense that we would encounter God in nature. Because the human-built world is very much our own creation. This is human artifice. This is human creativity at play. But when you go out there into the world, you can go out here and look at the bark on the cherry trees out there in the memorial garden, and you realize, wow, no human would have created this. This is not what humans would do. And when you're confronted with the reality of the vibrance of life and the beauty of life and the power of the natural world that's beyond anything humans can make happen, is beyond our ability to even make grass. I mean, we can manipulate DNA, but we can't make life in the way that it is just there. That's where Paul leads him. It's like, I know in my own experience, that's often where I have felt been brought out of myself. It's in my experience of nature often that I'm brought out of myself into something bigger than I am. I get that when I look at the stars and you look into the sky and the sense of awe and wonder. What are humans that you are mindful of them? The Son of Man that you care for them. Like you, the stars are just awesome. So that's what Paul does. He brings them. It's like God isn't the wind or the ocean or the sun or the moon. God is bigger than these things. God is the creator of these things. I think for me, that sense of being able to come to, get over my own idolatry of wanting to control God happened especially through my recovery in AA and being part of a 12-step program. I first started in 2003 and going through those steps. And part of the first step is realizing that you are powerless and that there is a power greater than yourself. And coming to a point where you turn your will and your life over to a power greater than yourself. That is a fundamental spiritual move. I think it's key, actually, because if you can't turn yourself, if there's not a power greater than you, then ultimately God will be an idol. If you want to encounter God, God needs to be greater than you are. And so this moment of turning yourself over to a power greater than yourself, which is the key to all 12-step processes, is really important. Because that's where there's this act of submission and a recognition of my own limits, my own finitude, my own weakness and fallibility, that maybe there is something bigger and greater than I am. And then, that 12-step process is a way of giving yourself over to, and you be entrusting the experience of others who've had an experience of this God, of a God who's greater than we are, a God who leads us into life and recovery. And you start listening to the experience of others. It's not just what they think about God. The brilliance of something like AA is they don't have a theology, they don't have doctrine, but they do know about God because people have encountered and experienced the power of God to transform lives. And that's what I encountered, that's what I experienced, and being able to give myself over to something greater than myself, I actually began to encounter something greater than myself. And then over the course of time, that sense of giving myself over to something greater than myself, I began to experience what Paul says in this Acts text. It is within God that we live and move and have our being. Where Jesus says, I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This profound sense of being held within the context of the divine. I don't know how that happened, but I resonate with those lines because actually that's true to my experience of the divine. It happens for me when I'm outdoors in nature and experiencing the awe of the world around me, and I have a sense of being part of something greater than myself and being held by it. But it happens for me when I get up at 2 a.m. and I can't sleep and I sit out on my deck and I fall into prayer, and prayer not so much in terms of words but just in terms of just resting in the presence of the God who is there. It happens for me in interpersonal moments of interpersonal sharing and sacred moments where I'm in a conversation with somebody and something happens in the context and there's just deep vulnerability and sharing, and the reality and sacredness of our lives is just apparent. I think it happens here specifically in the context of this community. Like, we are a group of people who are all on a spiritual journeys together, and y'all show up because you have some sort of experience of God or you have some sort of concept of God. There is something that keeps you coming and showing up every Sunday. And my experience in this community is there's great integrity to the journeys that this community is on. I mean, some of you, I mean, there's depth to your spiritual journeys, which is far greater than the depth in my spiritual journey, and I am in awe. And some of you are like, yeah, I don't know if I believe in God. you know, I don't experience God at all. You don't feel like you have any kind of experience of God. And yet, it's clear to me that you are held by God. It's clear to me. And so the integrity with which this community and people in this community do take their spiritual journeys, I think that's part of what happens as we come together as a community who are all on this journey towards understanding and experiencing and comprehending the divine together. And, you know, we reflect on these ancient texts and we make music together, we sing together, and we pray. We open ourselves up in prayer. And then we share this sacred meal together. I think that slowly transforms. And in my experiences, I've given myself over to these things and let them shape me. I found myself drawn deeper into kind of that sense of God's presence. It's not so much a cognitive assent as it is giving myself over to something that is there, that is bigger than I am, that is greater than I am. So, anyway, I think that's what Paul, in this Acts text, when he talks about God being, it is within God that we live and move and have our being. He's trying to tap into this common human experience. And what's curious is that he does point that, and this God within whom we live and move and have our being gives life and gives it abundantly. Jesus talks about, and this God says, I am in the Father, and the Father is me, and the Father, and I am in you, and I call you to love. It's this journey towards life, this journey towards love. It's a giving of ourselves over to these things, as imperfect and as fallible as we are. But we experience the transformation, the slow, ongoing transformation that happens. So, anyway, that's what I was thinking about these texts. So, I'm going to end there. Amen.